Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good gifts that you have provided for us. We thank you and praise you for the miracle of our children and of life itself. We give thanks for Mabel and for the many other gifts that you've been giving to us in provision and in healing and in life. We thank you. And we come today, Lord, to recognize your love for us and to rest in that. So would you join us and would you guide us? Holy Spirit, lead us as we consider your word. And Lord, would you be so pleased by our singing and our worshiping together? Bless New City Church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I wanted to, as part of our confession and absolution, if you could turn to page G. This is a prayer of confession. There's a ministry called Ransomed Heart. They're really good, and we took this from them a couple years ago. But what I'll do is I want you to read along quietly with it. And as we get to a place where it says, renounce your specific sin, that's just a moment for you to think about areas that have limited you or areas that you're frustrated with or scared about. That's where you get to say it privately in your own head. So we're engaging confession kind of individually together today. So let me pray this prayer, follow along. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I confess I've been offering myself over to sin, and now I am its slave. I renounce it. I renounce my sins of... I renounce every way I've given myself over to sin. I dedicate and consecrate my life and specific area to the rule of Jesus Christ, to be his and his alone. May your atoning blood cover my sins and cleanse me. May your holiness possess me totally and completely. Lord, forgive me for giving place in my heart to resentment, to lust, to anger, to despair, to greed, and to pride. Forgive me for giving place in my life to resignation and self-reproach, and shame, to fear and doubt and control. I renounce it now. Come, Jesus Christ, and take your rightful place in my heart and in my life here. Come and set me free here, in these very places, in our church. I plead your blood over these sins, and I break every hold I have given my enemy here in the name of Jesus Christ. And then Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his son to die for you, and it's for his sake. His sake, he forgives you all your sins. And so as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore announce to you that God forgives you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So hopefully, Holy Spirit's already started ministering to you today. Before we go into our singing, I wanted to read Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 through 25. If you're going to follow along, it's page 362, but Isaiah 65, chapter 65, verse 17 through 25. And this is setting up the idea for us to think about today of the new heavens and the new earth. And it's put forth by Isaiah well before Christ even shows up. So, chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Again, for a few people who just came in. Everyone knows Matt had the baby, right? Really? I thought I put you on the list for... Oh, yeah, Matt didn't have a baby. Christina had the baby. Did you hear that? Okay, well, sorry. You guys, so we're celebrating that and thanking God, just in case you didn't hear. All right, well, let's move into our time of Scripture. We're going to be considering Romans chapter 8, but before that, we're going to read some words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 52. It's found on page 478, if you're using the Bible with the tiny print. Matthew chapter 13, these are the words of Jesus. They're his parables. So he's explaining things through story, and those who have ears can hear it, and those who don't, can't. So hopefully you can hear it. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So we just heard the words of Jesus. Now we go to Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Page 550, Romans chapter 8. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pangs of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Well, before we begin, let me just ask the Lord to bless this. God, would you lead us through these Bible passages? We trust you, Holy Spirit. You apply to us what we need and with kindness and gentleness what we can handle. But we pray that you might continue to nourish and nurture our faith, calm and comfort our hearts, and stir up hope. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about the gift that keeps on giving. And so since the Holy Spirit has been given to us after Easter at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been released to people, and it's a great gift of God. It's Jesus Christ's Spirit. And so we've been talking about this new way of living. You walk by the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And the flesh, whenever you hear the flesh, again, it's not, doesn't mean like, oh, things that are created are bad and that only Spirit is good. No, it means the sin that we're under. So our sinful minds, our desire to rebel against God and to just do whatever we want, that's the problem, not the flesh. So he says, you're thinking according to the flesh, but now you've been given the Spirit. And so there's a struggle. If you remember, Paul says there's a new way of the Spirit. Then he says, now the struggle is a gift. We talked about that. Because there's a struggle for power now for the baptized Christian person. Because now you're not just led by the flesh. Before Christ, there's no struggle. You do whatever makes sense. So it's all law. That means you just go according to, when I do something, I get a certain reward for it. And so I want to do good things to get good rewards, or I try to avoid bad. And so you basically are living according to the flesh, which is, it makes sense. You get what you deserve. You know what I mean? So that's the law. But when Christ comes in, now you're under the Spirit, which says you get what you don't deserve, which is mind-boggling for our brains that live in a world where if you plant a seed, it grows and produces. You can't just get a seed. A seed doesn't just produce all sorts of fruit for you in your yard. You don't go home and your house isn't just clean for no reason. You don't have great relationships with people because you did nothing. That's not how this world works. Yet the gospel is, I love you before you've ever done anything. I give you forgiveness even though you don't deserve it, only because you realize you need it. See, it's totally different. But that's the Spirit. So without the Spirit, you just live according to the flesh. But under the Spirit, now there's a struggle because you have both. And the flesh is saying, prove to God you're pretty good. Prove to others that you're good and try to justify yourself. But the Spirit says, repent and trust. Know that it's hopeless. Your works are hopeless, but that receive by faith my grace. And so you have these two things going on at once. And that's a great gift. It means you're alive. Then Paul gets into, you're also, not only are you alive now spiritually and there's going to be a struggle, and you start to go, I don't have things I want. Oh, wretched man that I am, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And now there's no condemnation. We worked through that. And last week we got to a point where now Paul is saying, by the Spirit, you are part of the family of God. You have access to God, to his people, to the point where you can cry out, and the only thing you can do in your Christian life is to cry out, Abba, Father. The first thing that baby Mabel will say will probably be, Dada, Dada. It's the first thing we know how to say, and the Spirit will say that on our behalf. We will say it when we're in trouble, when we're overwhelmed. All you do is go, oh, Dad, Father, God. And it cuts through all the noise, and God hears you because you are a child. Beautiful child of God by faith. So you're part of this family now, but today it gets even better. Today, Paul and the things we've been reading are about your inheritance. Has everyone here made a will? Have you made a will? Good, good. Am I in it? Not yet. Think about that. Will you put me in your will? If you have stuff. I remember the pressure to make a will. We have a will, but it took us years and years. We didn't do it till I was like 40, and I already had three grown kids. It was pretty irresponsible. But as you get older, it's like, get a will. Why? Because we all know, the one thing we know is that we're going to die. And humans are good at living even though they know they're going to die. It's what separates us from animals. We're aware that there's death, and yet we still live. It's crazy. But you write a will because you want to love your kids. You want to make sure that there's order and that you can pass on something. And so, you know, you make it in the will. The people in my will are, you already know, it's Lowry, Grace, Haley, Anthony, Matt. I'm just kidding. Those guys aren't in it. Just my kids. Why would I put Anthony in it? I mean, what do you want? The banjo? Can we give? Yeah, talk to my kids about it. But the idea is, here's the will. And as you get older, maybe you amass things, or maybe you amass debt. I don't know. But here's what I know about the Christian reality, and what Paul is saying today is that you are in the family of God, and you are in his will. And his will is, like, not, we say in his will, like, are you doing what I like? I'm talking about a will that you write up, that when you die, you get something. Paul is overwhelmed by it and saying, because we are in Christ by faith, we are in the will of God, and here's what he wants to give us. New creation. He has promised in this will, and then he has written your name in the will, that you will receive a world recreated. You will be recreated, and it's all yours forever and ever. That's why Paul says here, I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So Paul's going to explain the new creation is worth suffering for. And Paul knows, he goes, it's going to be nothing compared. I consider the sufferings of this present life nothing compared to what we're going to get. And that guy was like beaten. He was whipped 5 times. It was like 41 minus 1. 5 times. Can you imagine the scar tissue on Paul's back? He was beaten with rods 3 times. Rods! Broken bones. He was shipwrecked 3 times, starved. He was stoned once. They thought he was dead. So here's Paul, all scar tissued up. Like, and you're going, wow, man, where you been? He's like, just going around telling people that Jesus loves them and it's free gospel. You look really beat up. Yeah, I've been really beat up. But you know what? It's nothing compared to what we're going to get. And you're going, that guy suffered. And he knows the suffering that we walk through. Again, the suffering is not always like Paul. The suffering is, well, we're all wearing masks. We live in a world where there's sickness, there's pandemic. We live in a world of financial insecurity, where there's poverty. We live in a world that's limited and scary. We do the best we can, but we suffer. And for you, Christian, for you, baptized child of God, I want you to know, you're in the will, and no amount of suffering, it's going to be worth it. All the suffering we walk through now, all the heartache, is going to be worth it, because the new creation is God's, it's all of his riches. Like, dude, you're going to be rich. You're in the will. You know what he gave you? So imagine a world, Grace, where there's 100 new colors to paint with. You know? Imagine a world where there's 100 new sounds to play with. Imagine a world where there's no natural disasters. Oh, I know. Imagine this, because this is the truth. We're going to inherit, and the will that God's giving to us, imagine a world where you love going to work every day. You love the people you're working with. You're solving problems, and the thing you create is just beautiful. And the people you create it for use it correctly. Imagine that. Imagine working with no resentment and just out of the joy of it, because you can create. Can you imagine? That's what's in the will. Jesus is like, yeah, I have been working and created a place that you will recognize, but way better. Because the creation right now is groaning. So even the beauty of this world and even the music we create and the art, which is great, it's actually broken and limited and groaning because it was subject to us, the caretakers, the people who are supposed to take care of it. We sinned and brought a curse on the earth. And so Paul is saying the earth and this new creation that you're going to inherit, it's groaning right now, waiting for what? It's waiting for the adoption of sons for the redemption of our bodies. It's end of verse 23. That the earth is groaning. It's like, oh, we can't wait for Jesus to raise up his kids, resurrect them the way he resurrected, restore the earth, put us back on an earth without death, without any confusion, without any sickness. This is what God's plan is. It's not just heaven. And you know this, you've been around. Heaven is actually a waiting place. So in heaven right now, your spirit is with God, but you're waiting and longing for the redemption of our bodies. And the confusion is we either want to escape all the flesh and the body, say that's dirty, or we want to worship the earth. See how we always go one or the other, worship the earth and like, oh, we got to do everything and this is all that matters. Or let's escape this and become monks. And Jesus is always going, no, it's body and spirit were created to be together. You don't escape or start worship. I'm going to restore this and give it to you. It's the redemption of our bodies. We eagerly await for it. And he says this thing about groaning. I mean, you know, like I think we're all groaning now, right? When you mindlessly get out of the car, go into the gas station, I'm like, oh, and I have to go back and get my mask, right? It's like the new groaning. Or something in the news, you just groan. We're waiting for it to be made right. I mean, this really is right now, we're waiting for it to be made right. It's kind of a perfect analogy. And as Christians, we're groaning, waiting for things to be right. Like, we know this has to get better. The pandemic has to stop sooner or later. It's going to stop. We're going to figure it out. But until we do, we're like, how long? How long do we have to do this? And how long? And that's the idea that Paul is saying, that's our reality, Christian, brother and sister. You have this great inheritance. The beauty that you see in the world that you long to kind of rest and relax, but you can't yet. We long for that. That's the promise of God to you. I will resurrect you, and I will restore and resurrect this earth, and I will live with you, and it'll be perfect, and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and all that. That is our promise, and I want you to know that this will, Jesus, God wrote the will in the Garden of Eden when he said to Eve, a child's going to come from you and crush the head of the serpent. He also wrote the will when he gave it to Abraham. You're going to bless all nations. You're going to, like, God has been making his will for the end known since the beginning. And then he sends his son, Jesus Christ. And how is a will made effective? So I've written you guys in my will, but when do you get the stuff? When I die. Thanks, Grace. Not scared to say that. Right. Death activates the will. Right? Jesus Christ, death on the cross, has activated the will so that it is sure. It is certain. It is going to happen. So we're groaning for this. This is what we get, but how do we do it? And this is where Paul says patience and hope. So when he says in verse 24, "For in this hope we were saved." Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So the beginning of this, it started with faith. So we put our faith in Christ. You know how people say, and we always quote James, faith without works is dead. How does that make you feel usually? Faith without works is dead. And then just put a name at the end of it. Lowry. Usually it means I need to anchor my true faith in works. Like if I do works, then I have faith. Faith without works is dead. But the reality for us is our faith is in Christ, and Christ produces works. Christ did it all. So yeah, our faith is not without works. It's in Christ who does all works. And immediately what his work applied to us produces is a good work. How many of you think of patience as a good work? I mean, think about this. If I said, yeah, go out there and do good works. Let's serve the community. Day one, let's work on patience. You might be like, well, I want to go get my hands dirty and like help someone and save the world. And I'd say to you, you know, you cannot serve your neighbor. You cannot love anybody without patience. And if you've ever tried to serve anybody, you know that to be true. Because when you try to do good for somebody and they don't care, and they just abuse it or they don't want it, that's happened, right? You tried to give somebody something, they're like, no thanks. I have examples if you want to hear them, but I think you get it. Patience is the work of your faith. It produces this patience, and patience is the hope that I can love a broken person, I can love a culture that is not going to give anything back. In fact, they're going to persecute me. I can love sacrificing and giving of myself. I can love all that because nothing is compared to what is reserved for me. And the work of Christ has been applied to me passively so that now I know I'm loving people not for a reward back, not even to make me feel good, but because this is who God is making me to be. He's making me the kind of person that I actually have hope. And that hope produces works. Here's how hope produces works. Matt and Christina hoped to have a baby. So what's the first thing you do when you want to have a baby? It produces a work. You make it a love. I said it quick so people at home couldn't hear. Right? There's a work for you. Go make a baby with your wife. Why? Because we hope to make a baby. There's a work. But then once they're pregnant, now they have all this hope that there's a little baby growing inside. I'm hoping, but what do they have to do? Wait with it, wait for it patiently, especially this last week. Their patience was tried for sure, right? We thought it was going to be here, and then it was like, oh. And Paul says, it's like the earth is groaning like in childbirth. It's like, when is this going to happen? Well, what did they do with this hope that there's a baby growing inside of her? It produced works. What were those works? They started picking out colors for a baby room. They start picking out how they want the baby to sleep and where they want to do this, and they prepared their house. Do you see how hope is the energy? Hope is the energy of your little faith car. It's the battery. So faith begins it all, and then hope is the energy. This is why we keep suffering, we keep loving, we keep going, because hope is, man, we're going to get something great, and we're going to be with the person we love, and we're going to walk into the world as it ought to be. And so be patient. Keep hoping. No matter what you see around you. But guess what? It gets even better. So hope, we need hope. But look at this, look at the verse right after this. Paul knows something about us. It's like, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at hoping. I'm not good at being patient. I know. That's why in verse 26, likewise, we're back to the Spirit. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. You're bad at hoping. You immediately just take what's right in front of you instead of having, you know, I'm trying to save up money for something, and then I just buy the candy bar because it's right here. Oh, sorry, Lord. The Lord knows this. He knows we don't, it's hard. So he sends us the Spirit, and what does the Spirit do? Helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let me break this down for you. The Holy Spirit is super patient and hopeful about you. So like we're called to be patient and wait, but he has not left us alone and said, now, good luck, like so many people try to figure out how to live a Christian life, and the best they can come up with is God saves, and now you're on your own to get to the new creation. Good luck. But the truth is that Paul says all this, God says this, now be patient, and then he gives you the Holy Spirit who says, I know your mind. I know you're weak. I know you're distracted. I know you're super scared. I know you don't have the hope. I know you haven't saved enough. I know all that, but I'm giving you my Spirit who helps you in your weakness, doesn't just help you, but intercedes for you before God. and is patient with you because he says, oh, you're going to love it. And so I'm patiently presenting you before God. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is the gift of hope. And his hope is that I'm working on you right now at your own pace. Don't look at your neighbor and try to be like them. I'm working with you individually in your weakness. I'm groaning on your behalf. So all the groaning you do, we groan for the wrong reasons, right? I might groan because I'm not as comfortable as I'd like and I want more money. And the Holy Spirit groans on my behalf for the right reasons. He says, he intercedes. He goes, dear God, Adam's prayed for more money, but we both know that's only going to make him a worse person. What he really needs is patience and love. Like the Holy Spirit is your lawyer working out the will for you, like representing you. This is all happening right now. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit to the point where the idea of judgment for us is exciting. Come, Lord Jesus, judge us all. Because when we go to judgment, God's like, oh, here's the book on Adam. I'm excited because I'm basing my whole life on the fact that when we get to my big book, I'm like, I've always trusted Jesus. I just trust that he's given me his life. So I don't think you need to read that, Lord. And the Lord will smile and say, according to his word, according to his word. He's like, that's right. The Lord will see all your sins and he won't judge you. He's like, oh, I judged my son, Jesus Christ, on your behalf. Come on in. Let's party. The Holy Spirit is patient with you. He's working with you right now. So remember, our faith isn't just one day. Our faith is that, God, you're going to finish what you started in me. That takes faith. Trust. He cares for you. He's working on you. And he's representing you. I just think of the idea of Satan accusing you. It's not hard. And just making accusations all day. But then the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ interceding for us now. We know that to be true. So our hope isn't, I hope you like me, Lord. Our hope is, I can't wait to be in the new creation with you. Do you see how it starts to change? Don't be scared about if he likes you or not, or if you're saved. If you're scared about that at all, just go, Abba, Father, do you love me? Yes. Repentance always precedes the comfort of the gospel. But remember, repentance isn't like, oh, forgive me, I've done it. Repentance is like, my situation is bad. Please help. Good, you realize it's bad. Oh, good, you're looking to God to help you. That's repentance. And then the good news is, I will help you. I do love you. I am representing you. I've given you the heart and mind of God. So when God searches your heart and mind, he sees the heart of Jesus Christ being applied to you by the Holy Spirit. I hope you know what a big deal this is. Because when the world searches your heart on Twitter, they will not be so gracious. You don't get the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. But it's not that way for us. I can't tell if you guys are smiling or not. Thank you. Just every once in a while, flash me your grin. So the good news is, the new creation is worth suffering for. It's worth waiting for. It's so great that God, it's worth sending his only son. It's worth giving his only son for. This is how good new creation is. And it's already working in you. I just want you to know, this is our hope. And whatever temptation to put your hope in politics, to put your hope in money, those are all things that we have to deal with here. And you do your best. But I want you to be so rooted in the reality that your name is in the will of God. You get all his stuff. But here's why. My neighbor, Steve and Cindy, next door, great people. They had two adult sons. One of their sons at age 27 just passed away suddenly, tragically, in his sleep. Like, there was a breathing thing, just came out of nowhere. That happened about 12, 13 years ago. And so the other son is a landscaper, he's like 30-something, and parks his trailer by my house, and so I see them a lot. And I saw Steve. Steve's older and retired. And he said, I said, man, have you been working with your son, Kyle? He's like, yeah, I've been doing landscaping every day. And I was like, wow, you've been doing landscaping? I go, is that messing up? Are you sore? He's like, yeah, I'm sore and really tired. But he's like, I'm not afraid to sweat, though. I've been sweating my whole life working outside. But he's definitely older, and it's definitely a difficult job. And I was really like, wow, man, you're landscaping every day for like 8 hours. He's like, yeah, but you know what? He goes, but I don't care, man, because it's just really about I get to spend all this time with my son. And I was like, oh, Steve, you're so sweet, man. And it starts to click, like, you lose a son, but then you do whatever you can. You suffer and you do a job that it's really hard and you shouldn't, but to be with your son, your other son. So the reason we have this great hope is that Jesus Christ, God has sent his son. He gave one son. He says, because I want to be with you. The best part about the new creation is that God's going to see his children finally together with the earth and in the spirit, apart from evil, apart from confusion. He's going to love to see us create and live and laugh because he's going to be with us physically. He just wants to be with us. That's what all this is about. Can you imagine? It's all because of the work of Jesus Christ. So we praise Jesus. He is our security and our confidence. And I just want you to know, it's like when one of my buddies figured out he was in his rich grandpa's will. He's like, dude, I'm in the will. I'm like, dude, you're going to be so rich. Dude, don't forget me. He's like, yeah, I won't. Haven't talked to him for years. He probably did get rich. That's why. I want you to have that same experience. I want you to know and be rooted in that. You are rich. Jesus Christ has come for you. You're in the will of God. The new creation is worth waiting for. It's worth suffering for. It's worth God's only Son, and you're going to love it. Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, would you apply to our hearts? Well, we ask, you lead us. Lead us to rest in this. It's one thing to say it, but it's another to really allow your word to comfort us. But we know you keep your word. We know that you keep your promises. We know that you're all powerful and all loving. And so we pray that you would continue to stir up and give us the hope, the kind of hope that would allow Jesus Christ to come and die and walk through all that torment and all that humiliation. That kind of hope, the hope that says, I know what's beyond crucifixion and it's way better. Would you give that to us today? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God the Father. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's confess. Let's confess God as creator, as redeemer, and then as the sustainer, the Holy Spirit, by saying together the Apostles' Creed. Page B. So I'll ask, Christian, what is it you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we've been giving thanks for Matt and Christina's baby, which was born yesterday, safe and healthy. So we thank God for that. We also have everyone here represents different prayer requests. So just want to keep praying for everybody. Praying for health and for mental health as we try to navigate just the world as it is right now. I guess one of my biggest prayers is that God would give us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I just think that during this time, it's so easy to get wrapped up into anger and who's doing things right and who's not doing things right. And so my prayer is that we could always look through it, through the Holy Spirit's lens of God is gracious and merciful and patient with us, and that we have to be that way with others. But we need his help in that. So that's a big prayer on top of everything else. So if you have a prayer request, remember to write it down. And, you know, I might, if you write something down, I'll probably take them because I'm going to be at the beach all week. Praise God. I've been hoping for that. And so we'll get a chance to pray for them today. Just remind me to take the prayer requests. And not, I usually come in during the week and do it. And then if there's anything else we need to pray for that someone wants to share. Good. I feel you. Let me pray. Also, this is our time of offering. If you give online or at some point, thank God by just giving back and saying, God, thanks for this work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for providing for us. Thank you for babies being born. Thank you for your faithfulness and your word and your kindness in all your works. We praise you for all your benefits, that you do not deal with us according to our sins, nor do you hold our transgressions against us. We thank you. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us into patience and to love as we make decisions and do the best we can in our world right now that is just on the edge about everything. Would you help us to navigate that in kindness and in love and in mercy? And would you minister to our hearts the truth? You care for us. You have plans for us. You are with us. And may that comfort us in all the valleys. And may it give us hope when things are going good. May we not forget you. But bless New City Church, Lord. Bless our folks. Bless our community. And restore the joy of our salvation in the God of all salvation. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, Jesus knows. It's like, I'm gonna set some things up before I leave. I've set up the will, so you're all in the will. And now I want you to have a little reminder of being in the will as often as you can. I want you to get together. And really, this is supposed to be it's a lot of things. But one of the things is it's a foretaste of the feast we're going to have at the new creation. So the first thing that happens when God restores and recreates the earth is we have a huge feast. And so Jesus sets up this huge feast in a way that's like, it's small now, but it keeps us nourished in our hope. So as you suffer and as you wait, this is to nourish and nurture your faith, just like a meal nourishes your strength. It's turned into energy somehow. So this meal turns our faith into hope, into energy, so that we can live. You know what I mean? You ever thought about that? When you eat something, somehow that's translated into this? Same thing here. And so the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sets it up. He says, the Passover, I'm going to redo the Passover. I'm going to pass over, only I'm going to be the one who passes over from death into life. Life to death, back into life. So he becomes the Passover lamb, and he says, this now is my blood. This wine is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And this bread is my body being broken and given for you. And so we set it apart. Let me pray over it, and then we'll say our family prayer before we eat, the Lord's Prayer. Lord, bless this. We thank you that it is grape juice in the middle and wine on the outside and just bread, but by your word, you say, I create things with my word. I create saints out of sinners, and when I put my word on something, it's good. And so we come to this remembering your death and resurrection, asking that you would nurture and restore our faith where it's been breached, where it's starting to be attacked, strengthen it, and draw us together to you and to your people so that we might know we're not alone, and restore all this hope in the reality that's coming. And then, Lord, we pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me just wait for... And actually, we got down to the perfect amount. During tough times, we don't waste anything. So as we wait, you just continue to meditate and think. Thank God for what he's done on the cross through Jesus Christ. And know that this is a small sample. It's full in its power. But we don't get to taste the full feast yet. The body of Christ, broken for you, take and eat of it. Likewise, the true blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, take and drink of it. We are unified as the body of Christ, the place where God dwells through his Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting to be with us. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of the resurrection. Continue to apply that to the Thorntons, to the Porters, to the Fitzpatricks, to Kevin and Marcia, to Joe and Rebecca and Libby, and to Peter and Ray, and to the Niederheisers, and to Val and Lowry and Grace and Haley and Jake and the Wimberleys and the Servos and the Gallises and everybody at home, Fitzpatrick's. Lord, would you bless us? Would you hear? We know you hear us and we know you love us. Comfort us today and give us your joy as we know we are your children in your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have a great week and love each other and receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor, giving you peace, shalom, now and forever, as he awaits to be united and just be with you, now and forever. Amen. All right. Have a great week.